laboratory where frightful experiments are conducted.
You are now listening to the cross-platform chat Spooky Cast.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 5 of Cross Platform Chat, a podcast about video games and nerdy things. My name is Matt, joined by one of my best gaming buddies on the microphone. Cross Platform Chat is a conversation among friends, and we bring our distinct perspectives on games, but we are cross platform and backwards compatible, so our door is always open to gamers of all flavors, and we welcome you to the house of Cross Plat Chat. Pull up a chair, stay a while, why don't you? Hang out with the cool kids. Let's chop this thing up, shall we? So right about now, let me welcome my partner in crime, Devin, otherwise known as Sonic Boom in the Room.
Good evening, everybody.
Greetings, greetings. Sonic Boom, I'm still waiting for you to bring back astronaut applesauce. Or
add astra applesauce?
Yeah, okay,
no.
Yeah.
No, that's dead and gone. I got a new trick I'm mainlining right now. Matt, Flutterbomb, here we go. Question.
Jesus.
Matt.
Yeah, okay.
If you were a unicorn.
Yeah.
Matt, if you're a unicorn, what would your name be?
Oh, shit. Butter. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to go with butter cakes.
Wrong. It's okay. Sparkle Rainbow. And mine would be Snowbell.
This is a really weird. Okay, well, Flutterbombs is here. Usually we get into like what we're playing this week, but I have a Flutterbomb for you.
Make it quick and then we'll hit up that roadmap for the app.
Oh yeah, that roadmap. Okay, newsy news. There's so much to talk about in the news. I don't even know where to start.
It's going to be thick.
It's going to be real thick. And there's more in the world of news than we're going to discuss, because two men literally can't get through all these news items.
Oh, which, yeah. Rest in peace, Greg.
Right, exactly. We'll talk about that in a minute. But PlayStation 5 is in reviewers' hands. Xbox retail units out. God, what else? Major delays for games, including Cyberpunk. Jesus Christ. Creative directors leaving major projects at Microsoft Studios. Oh dear God, it goes on and on. But that's a little bit topics of the news. I wanted to talk a little bit about. This is the part where we're gonna have to get a little creative, because I was thinking just like before we recorded the show, some topics. I wanted to talk to you about video game stories, because you were talking about last week. You were talking about Spider-Man and how you hated the story. So I kind of wanted to ask you a little bit about video game stories. What makes them good in your opinion? Horror games, your favorite thing, Sonic Boom. And I want to dive into a little bit about what makes a game scary to you. I mean, it's Halloween Eve. It's all Hallows Eve right now.
Yeah, we got Rachel back in the booth, so she re-recorded the opening for us.
Good. Thanks, Rachel.
For October Halloween Fest. Yeah.
And we're going to end the show with quickfire questions. Last week was so fun doing quickfire questions. I want to end every show from here on out quickfire
questions. Says the man on the other side of the iron sights. Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay. You know what we should do next week? You do the quickfire questions.
All right.
And then it will be truly be quickfire. All right. But as you know, like last week, I asked the quickfire questions. I didn't even think of this shit. I just wrote them down and then threw them out. And it was kind of like a quickfire question for me. So that's how empty-minded I am doing this. All right. Can I get to my Flutterbomb?
Yeah. Let's just say Jethryn, Human Platinum. Greg, we miss you. We wish you were here, buddy.
Dude,
get to feel better.
Greg had to tap out this week. He's feeling a little under the weather. So yeah, we wish him well. Thoughts and prayers. And we drink in your honor tonight.
Yeah.
Got my bottle of whiskey here. Here's my Flutterbomb. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, as we know, it's Halloween tomorrow. It's exciting, usually exciting times when there's not a pandemic, you know, ripping through this globe that we sit on. It's all Hallows Eve, but I have a kind of like, I have to come clean about something, Sonic Boom. And it's been like eating at my soul for like ages. Literally, I always had anxiety about Halloween as a kid, because I never had a good Halloween costume. And I was thinking about this the other night. My Halloween costumes as a kid were always, like, not just trash. They were hot trash. And the worst it ever got, one year I dressed... I just dressed, like, with a turkey mask and a coat. And that
Oh, you were that kid?
And that was it.
Man, when those kids come to my house, I give them, like, the Smarties and the dum-dum. And no. you don't deserve a candy bar. Get out of here with that. Thing.
In my child mind, I didn't think of, like, am I going to have questions about this costume, you know? I'm thinking I'm going to grab a sack and just put on a turkey face, and that will be good. And, you know, lo and behold, the first house I go to is like, what the hell are you? What are you? And I had no answer. And I just, it got worse from there.
Your worst nightmare. And then just stab them.
That's how it went. And it got worse as it went on, you know, especially if I happened to be trick-or-treating with a kid smell that your was fear. Like, you know,
oh, yeah,
a kid
smelling your fear. Yeah.
That was Batman and I'm a turkey-faced coach. Like, Jesus, half of the kids here are just Walmart masks. What's with the 50 questions, lady? Jesus, give me my candy.
That's a thing we can touch on. The fact that when we were kids, when we went trick-or-treating, sometimes there was 10 inches of snow on the ground. Like,
no, that's a thing.
That was a thing. Like, oh, your costume is under your snow gear and your snow boots and your snow jacket. So
you unzip, maybe that's why.
Yeah, you unzip like four inches. Like, yeah, see, I'm a vampire. Cool. Yeah, right. Thanks.
Yeah. Batman, see? Jesus. Yeah. So maybe that's why I was wearing a coat. I was like trying to remember why I even had a coat on with a turkey mask.
There you go.
You can't really. Okay. Well, other
what's your question? Let's get to it.
Did I have a question?
You said your Flutterbomb was about Halloween masks or no, costumes or something.
I guess that's not a question. Flutterbombs are meant to be rants half the time.
Are
hey, they're man, my old just... man rants. But I did
just go where they go.
I knew that we were going to have a podcast just you and me tonight, so I actually did some research for you to like help you through your difficult times.
Okay.
Ornithophobia is the abnormal and irrational fear of birds. I looked this up.
What? It has a name?
It does.
Well, no, well, hold on. Whoa. You're not doing this to me. I'm not afraid of birds.
Like, well, that's the thing.
Not afraid of them.
Okay, but listen to this. I thought this might not actually refer to you, but then I read this. Okay, it's the abnormal or rational fear of birds. The term may also refer to strong dislike of birds. I thought you may fall. For example, you know, pest birds in heavy grain producing areas, these sorts of things. What causes it? And, you know, tell us if you fall into any one of these camps. Mm-hmm. Traumatic experience. This could be, you know, birds could be aggressive when they're hunting. Sometimes children, you know, might run into a seagull or a pigeon or even geese. Like, say you have a snack in your hand, suddenly you're a target. You know,
I always avoided birds. I just watched enough of the internet and seen birds just be complete jerks. Like, okay, you know what? So one day I was just like, low key, fuck birds. Like, I might have to edit that out.
That's fine. It's fine.
Fuck birds, man. They're just dicks.
Jeez. Triple F bomb.
Like straight up. Yeah, I'll bleep some of that out if I remember.
Well, they were saying we're not going to. The three main camps of what causes ornithophobia. You'll remember that, I promise. Traumatic experience or indirect trauma, but it sounds like you fall into the third camp, which is folklore, movies, or media. So that may produce fear.
I respect birds. Like when I see a crow, I'm like, dude, I see you, bird. I know you know me and you're going to remember me. I'm gonna be the guy that gave you the French fry from Wendy's. Go tell your friends, bring me some shiny shit. That's what you do.
Here's two things about crows. Number one, they are immense in size. Have you ever pulled up next to a crow and you're like, you're a dragon with a beak. That's what you are.
What's up? I was pulling up out of work and I saw one catch like a moth or something, was eating it in the gutter. I'm like, bird, what are you doing? And he just looks at me. He's like, ah. I'm like, fuck.
And then he's
like the size of a cat. Yeah, I spun. I just fucking.
I'm like, I'm out of here.
Screech out of there. About to
tear me apart. Okay, that's flutter bombs. I'm sorry, we got off the rails real quick there.
Hey, video games.
All right, put the suit and tie back on.
Yeah.
What are we playing this week? Sonic Boom, hit me.
With the kiddo, I played some Batman Lego 3 because that's It's just turn your mind off. You break bricks, you rebuild the bricks.
Yeah.
I love Lego. Yeah. I mean, it's the formula hasn't changed in the many years that they've been making those games. But you know what? My kid likes it. It's easy for me to just play a game, but not play a game.
Totally.
And then I got back into WoW. That's the new trick I'm running with. That's what my main lane in right now. Well, you know, I'm trying to, you know, take a break from this current gen. And I got that special edition for Shadowlands, which comes out 23rd of November. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. Let's re-up the scribe, get my subscription going.
Right.
And let's get back into it, which that's always a treat. Like when you get into WoW, like getting back in is that's a daunting chore because you have to get your mods. You have to remember where to get your mods because it's like, oh, where do I get these? Oh, that's right. It was from this place. And then they got bought by Twitch. So now I have to go log into Twitch and then go to the mod section and figure out what I had, which isn't bad because back in the day, you had to like install mods on your own. And then there was a client that kind of did it for you. And then there was automatic updates. And then now it's just done by Twitch. So that's not bad.
WoW is just one of those things I was always afraid of because it's not like you kind of play WoW. When you're playing WoW, you're playing WoW.
Oh yeah,
that's who you are now. So
yeah, I mean I've got a WoW tattoo. I've owned all the collector's editions.
Do you really?
Like I played it. Like I'm on.
You have a WoW tattoo?
Yeah.
You have a tattoo. I didn't know that. When did you get that? You never told me.
10 years ago. It's the Lich King helmet. But like I was like raiding pretty hardcore, like not like method or anything, but like, you know, some places were asking my raid group to run with them so we could record videos for their walkthroughs. Some of the DPS charts I had some records on, you know, nothing crazy. I'm not gonna say I was like top in the world, but you know, I was in like the top 10 on a couple of bosses. So I put my time in, you know, to the neglect of friends and family and well-being of my relationships. So
you're a pretty big deal. I didn't know we had a celebrity on the podcast.
No, I'm big time, baby.
Damn.
You ask anyone in Azeroth, like, oh yeah, I know who he is.
Of course, we know who that is.
Yeah, no. But it was kind of depressing. You get back on and you look at the roster of your guild. And you see that there's some people that just haven't logged in 8 years. And you're like, man, 8 years. They just they just moved on. Which, you know, it's like going back to the high school. Which you scored, you know, 4 touchdowns in the state championship at Pokai. But
it really makes you wonder, though, 8 years. Are they still alive out there?
That's another thing. It's like, how would I get a hold of this guy? I never knew his real name.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but weird.
Think about all the time you shared with those homeboys.
Highs and lows. And yeah, I mean, that's what part of it is. Just like, man, those are some good times. And it was a little depressing. Not like I was the glue that helped, you know, kept the band together, but like I knew that we switched servers, we switched alliances. Like when I left and stopped playing, you know, 4 times a week for 5 hours at a time, like after I left, like things changed and I knew it changed. So I'm not like shocked, but you kind of go back and you're like, wow, things have changed. I'm old.
Well, sounds like it's going to scratch that Genshin impact.
Yeah. But, they changed a lot. Like before, and this is recent cause they're doing a pre-patch for the new expansion. Level cap is 120. Now it's 50. And then the new expansion is going to raise it to 60. And then they revamped, how you level. Like you can get from level 1 to 50 with a new character in only a couple hours or something. Like the it's one thing that WoW has always really done well is be very accessible to new players and casuals. Like you log in and if anything changes, there's this big banner. It's like, this is what's changed, find out more here, or let's highlight this button, click this button, oh, your talents reset because we changed a bunch of stuff. And you know, so it's very accessible in the fact that they tell you what changed.
How
to address it. And then
casual.
If you're new. Yeah. If you're new, they hold your hand. They get you through it. And it's good stuff.
Filthy casuals.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about you WoW anymore. Yeah.
That's fine. What do you
play? Actually, I was going to ask you your nerdy pickups, though. Any nerdy pickups for the week?
No.
Or is it kind of the calm before the storm before we drop thousands of dollars on our next generation hardware?
Yeah. No. No nerdy pickups. Just costumes for Halloween.
Well, what are you going to go as?
Well, today I was David S. Pumpkins. So.
That sounds amazing.
From SNL.
Put that on the podcast Instagram, will you?
The gram? Okay. I'll get a picture.
So. What I've been playing this week, I've only played one game because everyone knows I'm far too cool to be playing video games. Actually, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Like, I'm kind of on a pause with all current gen. There's things I want to play, and like, I have an itch to pick up Ghost of Tsushima again because I'm like not even a third through that damn thing. But now I want to play it on PS5 because they're going to patch it with 60 frames. So I'm super looking forward to that. But I did play, finally, I've had it sitting on my shelf, Streets of Rage 4.
Ooh, there you go.
Bro, Streets of Rage 4.
That's solid.
Oh my god, I was playing with my brother, my twin brother.
There you go.
I have a clone. The art style is just gorgeous. It really has like this, like handmade artistic appeal to it. And the music, dude, it's jamming. It's like
it's scratching all those itches.
It's so badass. It's just, the sound design is so damn good. It's just nice, and it's nice and beefy for a brawler too. It's like great boss battles. Oh god, I was really floored, and I knew that the reception was good on it, but I hadn't picked it up until just this week, and it like makes me wish Capcom would like dig Final Fight out of the attic or something and
get some
wacky with it, dude. Oh Jesus.
Get some actual Mike Hagar action.
That's right.
Yeah. Misses and I played through that, and it was everything you want to be in a side scroller.
God, I love it.
And they did it, just enough to keep it a side scroller beat 'em up, but also keep it modern to where you're not like, well, this is a product of its time.
No, totally. Totally. I think it straddles that perfect line. Like it stays true to the brawler spirit, but it does feel modern. It's so damn good. God, I can't recommend it enough.
And that's why I'm shocked that Battletoads didn't catch on anymore, because it's in that same vein of like, it's a classic reborn.
Yeah,
it's got a modern touch. Mm-hmm. Visuals are great, music's great, writing's fantastic, and it just, I don't know, just flew under the radar, I guess.
Well, maybe it will have second life on the series, but and to be honest with you, and maybe this is just my anecdotal experience, but like even Battletoads to me has more of name recognition than Streets of Rage. That's maybe just me, but yeah, I don't. I've heard nothing but good things about Battletoads, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Nerdy pickups. Sonic Boom. Don't judge me. And I can't go into detail on this. Okay.
Oh god, what doll did you buy now?
I've been doing terrible, terrible things. Bad things that humans shouldn't do.
Well, we know you touch yourself, so
what's new? Everyone does that.
It's true. Don't lie to yourself. Everyone does.
I got an LG CX 65 inch. Anyway, next item.
Oh baby, nerdy pickups. No, I know, no, dude. Come back.
It's awful.
So it upgraded because you had an OLED before, right?
I had a 2016 OLED, and
the B8,
B6, baby. We're going back.
Whoa.
B6. And honestly, I have been saying like that was kind of, I'm not going to call it first wave OLED, but it was an early OLED.
Because that's the one you moved with, right?
Yeah, yeah, and
you,
honestly,
you spent a ton on that TV, like I did. No joke. But it looked amazing. It was worth every penny. Then
it is a beautiful television. I'm still gonna keep it around, you know, just for like it's like an extra OLED. You know, people do that, right? Like they have backup OLEDs. Anyway, was just, dude, this next gen wave, dude. I'm just like, I'm so excited.
He pulled the trigger, huh? Well, the thing has been like going down in price.
No, it did.
Drastically, the last couple weeks, like every week, it's like it's down another $100.
Right.
Buy it now. Like,
I've been watching it slip, and I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
Hello. Like, oh, it's going to be.
It's about how much I paid for mine, and I got mine as a half off store demo thing because the missus works at Best Buy.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I got it on a Black Friday Best Buy deal. Like, they were, Best Buy started doing their Black Friday deals. And I think most retailers do this too. Like, they'll do price protection. So if it drops in price in the next like 30 or 60 days, they'll honor that.
Oh, yeah. I get like one penny from Amazon all the time. Because something goes down. It's like, oh, wow, dope.
Are you winning, son? Here's
the
Jesus.
But no, congratulations. Another... You're ready. You got 120 hertz. Dude,
I can't. You got that
variable refresh rate.
Wait, dude. Oh, God.
Audio next relay gen... channel pass through. Like, you are popping off.
I keep having these, like, next-gen moments where I wait. I'm, like, sit up in bed, and I'm like, it's almost here. I'm having those moments where I can't wait to unbox and just get into all those quirky little things of next-gen. Just go through the UI, play my next-gen games. God, I'm so ready. I also buy dollies, as you know, and I bought a Sekiro Gecko statue. You're not going to know what the hell that is, but it's a really expensive 1/6 scale. Yeah, I know. 1/6 scale.
The gecko?
Yes. Yes. Gex the gecko. And the whole launch of it is postponed because of COVID. And apparently because they're produced in China, the company, God, why am I even talking about this? The company can't even go into China and like do quality control because it's a really nice statue company and they want to check the quality of their stuff before they ship it. They can't even do that. So they're like, we can't even go into China. We don't even know when you can get it. So thank you for your $400 that you spent like a year ago.
Anyway. Yeah, I bought a jersey off one of those China.com websites, and it was just like right when Rona was popping off, and it comes from China, and I look at the bag, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with you? So I just like grab a pair of tweezers and just douse it with the Lysol. I'm like, well, you can go live in a box for a month. So
well, it worked. You're fine.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you're uncertain, just dissect it with forceps. Hey, there's our word from last week. And then throw it in a box with Lysol for a month and you're fine. All right. In all honesty, mask up, people. Stay safe out there, please.
Yeah. Don't be dullard. We will judge you.
Do not be dullard. Let's move on to the newsy news before this podcast goes completely up in flames, shall we? You cool with that, Sonic Boom?
Oh, kids, strap in. It's if you were, you know, deployed or under a rock or without internet for 6 hours like me.
Yeah, like, you were without internet.
Yeah, my internet continues to be my week boss battle. But anyway,
this is turning into a saga, man, because last week you were out for like, what, 3-4 hours last week? I forget what you said, but it has not been.
It was intermittent, but this week it was a solid like. Noon rolls around and I lost internet. I'm like, okay, let me reset the modem. That usually helps. And then come 6 o'clock, I finally got it back. So
yeah, suddenly.
Anyway, enough about that. But yeah, what I was getting at is it's going to be beefy news, kids.
Oh my God. And we're not even lunch. We're not going to have time to talk on every single thing. I just hit some high points. So if you think of anything, please throw it in. All right.
Yeah. If you want to chat us about anything that we don't talk about, hit us up on the Twitter. At Crossplat Chat.
That's right. We need to plug that more. How many followers do we have? Like 10,000 or
something? Me, myself, and I, and then a couple of friends of friends. So
yeah, hey, we don't want to flex too much on the podcast. No, okay.
Yeah, our clout is
It's high. Newsy news. Okay. In an official drop on Xbox Wire, Microsoft gave a detailed walkthrough video of the Xbox Series X and S from cold boot up, showing system features including auto HDR, quick resume, gameplay sharing, integration with the Xbox app, as well as Xbox app remote play capabilities. The new UI featured in the Xbox Series X and S has actually already been pushed to Xbox One in the October update. However, the video gives us a first glimpse not only of the UI running on the new hardware, but a real-time demo of what we can expect when we boot up our next-generation Xbox on day one. There's a lot more like details to go into that, but I did watch the video, and my first thought was just simply, this continues just Microsoft transparency on this, this like no BS approach to information, and just a really nice, tangible demonstration, and I just really appreciate that.
That's, yeah, it was a high level breakdown. Like for you and I, like I'm sure you've seen most of that stuff because they've been showing off videos and the preview events and all those influencers and whatnot.
Yeah, and we've heard a lot about them.
So there wasn't a ton of new stuff here, but it was nice to see everything in this like, you know, tight contained package for those that might not be the 1% like you and I, and those that are listening right now. So
I really like just the clear messaging, and it's, you know, certainly when you contrast it with like the Circus House of Mirrors with the PS5.
Oh, so, man. You know, which, that's another barrel roll today with Ubisoft.
Oh, yeah. We
can get to it.
But yeah, it gives us a really clear picture of what the product is, and you know, from Cold Boot. Again, we've heard a lot about the features, but it was nice to see it demonstrated in real times. So that's cool. Next news item. Any other thoughts on that, Sonic Boom?
No. Don't really need to pontificate on things we've already said. You know,
give Sonic Boom his damn Series X, people. Please just chip him the damn box, please. At long last, Sony has distributed PlayStation 5 consoles to major media outlets and online influencers for review. Packaging appears to be full retail launch units. Outside of Astro's Playroom, it is unclear what games have been provided with the console. However, outlets and influencers report that they have all signed NDAs with Sony, mandating a tiered embargo schedule, which has not been officially detailed. At this point, it appears that outlets were able to open the shipping box, not unbox it, mind you, on October 23rd, then unbox the console and give impressions on the DualSense controller, along with Astro's Playroom on October 27th. While the next embargo lift is not officially known, online leaks have speculated a major embargo lift will occur on Friday, November 6th. So, that's pretty big news. I mean, the PlayStation 5 officially in the hands, this is really the first time. Obviously, because of COVID, like, we haven't had, like, in-hand game shows and real-time demos really outside of Japan. So it's a pretty big moment.
Yeah, it was nice to see it because this is still early, pending their previous track record of actually having hands-on with this stuff. Typically, influencers and outlets like this don't get it until, like, the week of. So.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I'd say while Microsoft is, you know, out there for the last couple of weeks, which is bonkers.
No, totally. And we've kind of said that on the podcast. I don't think it's that Sony is being any more cagey than they typically have been in years past. In fact, I think the PS4, they didn't get hands on with the PS4 until like a week before console launch. I just think it's Microsoft going above and beyond with the, you know, get it in people's hands. We want people to know what they're getting. We want just to evangelize like the next gen, you know, and they should be getting ahead of it. They really should.
That's I mean, they're actually hitting on all the cylinders with this messaging. Finally, they have, you know, marketing team has pulled their heads out of the, you know, what's for this cycle, and it's looking good, which I don't know. This will dovetail into another news item, but retail units for unboxing influencers for Xbox Series X and S are also out there, and that box, they treated it with some care. Yeah. Like you open up a Series X or a Series S, and it's like a little treat the way it's packaged and wrapped in this nice paper, and you get a little card, and yeah, it's a treat.
No, and we'll get into that in a second too. But I agree with you; it's a really premium box, and on the PS5 box itself looks really minimalist. It's pretty much like I don't even know. It's hardly even colorful. It's just white and
it's all white. And, well, I think they were they quoted. I don't have the quote, but they were out there before talking about how they were trying to be
environmental
minimalist. Friendly. Yeah, you know, they're worried about their carbon footprint for their things, but when your box is the size of a 1978 Buick, it's like, all right, that goes out the window.
Let me riff on PS5 because I am Sony Warhorse. That's my second God-given name is Sony Warhorse. The DualSense impressions have been like overwhelmingly great from what I've seen. Digital Foundry, Giant Bomb, host of other podcast personalities. I'm like really, really excited to touch this thing. Actually, I have heard that the DualSense itself is being sold through. I don't know what retailers, but they've been seen in the wild as of today. But I'm like super. Obviously, the DualShock was. I think the DualShock 4 was a good iteration on the DualShock historically, but. And the DualSense was something I was looking forward to, but now I'm like really, really curious to see how the thing works. And Astro, It's more, it seems like more than just a tech demo for that controller. I have heard that the game has over 4 hours of content. And I know the team working on Asobi, who did Astrobot Rescue Mission also. They're just so damn creative. And I don't know if you've seen much of like the kind of playthrough videos of it, but it's just so, it's awesome. It's kind of like, it has these different components of PlayStation history, and it goes through like PlayStation 5 technology and what's actually in the console. They have like Cooling Beach and all these different components of the architecture of the PS5. I just think it's really creative, and I can't wait to touch that controller. I cannot wait.
I think my main gripe with that controller, other than the offset, not offset sticks, is the fact that it rests on the triggers. That triggers me.
Wait, it rests on the, what do you mean?
The front end of the controller, the triggers, the left and right trigger. If you put it on a table, it rests on those triggers.
Oh, well, you will be holding it though, so it won't be resting on a table. So you don't have to worry about
how it's set. Mine will be in a box collecting dust, because I won't play it.
Fine.
Well, when I eventually get one, I'll play it.
Okay, well, you're crazy. The rest of the world is having great things to say about the DualSense. I'm so excited.
No, that's great. That's positive, because super, super excited. I hope, you know, developers stick with it, because when I hear about force tactile feedback and being able to blow into your controller and all those crazy things, I just think gimmick that won't be supported in the next 6 months, you know, and I hope that's not the case. I hope they still find smart ways to use that stuff.
I think that at the very least, you'll see first party utilizing, even if it goes the way of the Dodo third party, which I definitely think is in the realm of possibility. I still think first parties will use it. And here's kind of where I come from with it. I would rather have it than not have it. If it actually truly is a next gen revolution in a controller, like, why would you not want that in your next gen system? It's a feature that you offer that's unique to your brand. You know, that I think it's so damn cool.
Yeah, I'm wondering if those first party studios are like mandated to have some kind of, you know,
integration of the,
yeah.
I wouldn't shock me at all. In fact, if I were Sony, I would say do it. But hey, and why wouldn't you? Make yourself unique. I wanted to say one quick thing randomly. I haven't heard anybody really talk about this. Certainly, like the unboxing of the PS5, people keep talking about the immense size of the damn thing, and it is enormous. The thing is huge. In fact, this week I like pulled out the freaking IKEA like tape measure just to see if I can fit it in my damn room, for God's sake.
Well, they didn't send you a PDF to print and decoupage your own together to see if it'll fit?
No. I'm not going to play Craft Time to see if my console fits. But it's enormous. But I've heard of, I think this was John Linneman from Digital Foundry was saying that part of the reason that he thought that the PS5 was so big is because they didn't break up the motherboard, and they tried to like physically separate heat sources as far away from each other on the motherboard as possible, and that it actually saved a lot of cost for them to do that. And if you contrast it with like the Series X, which is a very dense box, they split up the motherboard into different layers that actually costs more to produce the console that way. It is really cool, and it makes it a much easier form factor to like play with. You don't have to park a Buick in your room. But I think it was as much a cost-saving measure as it was mitigating heat, which is obviously, when you look at the system teardown, like the heat sinks are huge and the massive fan, so that's really a concern for them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see in like 4 years if they do an iteration on that to, you know, PS5 Slim, yeah, like much smaller are they actually going to get it? Like, what are they going to use for their cooling solution? Because right now, like, that machine is dedicated to cooling. You have, you know, the Hoth-sized generator of a heat sink that is, you know, huge, and then the giant fan that expels all that heat. And like you said, the motherboard that's spread out to, you know, minimize.
Yeah. It's all about heat. So it's fun. And, you know, honestly, like when a system has a heat failure, like that costs companies a lot of money to.
Microsoft wouldn't know anything about that.
Red. But yeah, I think it was just saving money and anything. I'm just going to put this in two little tidbits on PS5. Demon's Souls trailer number 2 dropped yesterday. I cannot wait. I still think that's the most next-gen looking thing we've seen. And then Spider-Man Miles Morales showed off a gameplay trailer for... They had like a Into the Spider-Verse version of the suit for Spider-Man. And like the animation... Did you see this? Like the animation style was Spider-Verse style. It looked like choppy and animated and awesome. Oh, that looked so cool. I wish they would just do the whole game like that, honestly. I wish they would do a whole game like that. And I'd be
I did see it. It looked like Into the Spider-Verse suit for sure.
Loved it.
That's all I'll say.
Loved it. Speaking of unboxings, Microsoft responded immediately and has also distributed retail units of both the Xbox Series X and Series S to media outlets and influencers for review. Of course, this is not the first time consoles have been in the hands of reviewers. Microsoft had already sent pre-retail units to outlets several weeks ago, both of which have been met with great reception on backwards compatibility, among other features. I guess we kind of riffed on this a minute ago, but the packaging is really premium. I always appreciate like high quality premium unboxing, like packaging. So I just thought
they really thought about it. They put some time into the packaging and the like clamshell-esque box it comes in, and just everything about it. They just thought about it. To like, you know, how is the presentation? How does this speak to the machine? Which we actually got to see Series S's as well, out and about like giant bomb. And it is shocking how small the Series S is. Like, holy cow.
It's a compact little guy.
The Series S in its box is smaller than a PS5.
It's not hard to be smaller than a Buick Sonic Boom.
Yeah, no, that's true. But yeah, it looked good.
I did notice the Master Chief is on the back of the box, which obviously we miss his presence in launch. But, you know, I don't even care at this point. Let the people know who your flagship icon is. It's Master Chief. Let the people know.
Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, going to be the man to sell these boxes, you know, in 2020. And that's not the case. And so the ship had to move on without him. But I mean, you're going to put a Master Chief, a car, and a Phoenix on there regardless. So if it wasn't
him, question for you just off the cuff. How different do you think launch would be if Halo was there?
Not much different.
Do you feel like it wouldn't be that much different? I mean, I've thought about this. I'm like,
no, because would it be stronger? Yeah. I think it would have a stronger talking point, and it would definitely help. I'm not going to be that naive, but I think when a launch is happening for either system, people either going to want it right away or they're going to be waiting till something else comes down, because with how these console manufacturers are still embracing older generations, like,
yeah,
there's not a lot of like true exclusives coming out on either box yet. So I think people were going to wait regardless. Now, there's still a lot of people out there that are like, well, there's no Halo, then there's no reason for me to buy this, which that's fair. You know, that's going to happen. I'm sure there's quite a few people that felt that way. But at the end of the day, the first couple waves are going to sell out. Like, that's...
No, I mean, yeah, Core is going to sell through the first allotment, certainly, mm-hmm. for both consoles. I just... I guess I thought of two things when I think of the launch for Series X and S, I guess, for that matter. But the first thing is really like it sucks for Microsoft, because they kind of went through all of last cycle hearing you don't have exclusive games. And to launch their next generation console with a continuation of that perception and that belief from some people, perhaps. And there's, you know, I've been saying it, there's no excuse for Halo to be delayed. There really is not. And that's just bad. It's mismanaged development is what it is. It should be launching, and it sucks that it's not. And on the other end of the coin, like, while PlayStation has not historically had phenomenal launches, they're arguably launching with their best lineup to launch a console, like, in their history. I honestly would say that. And so I wonder how much that's going to matter. But I really, really do think that, like, going into the Christmas season, going into the holiday season, I think that it's... I think it really matters to have, like, a flagship. I'm not going to call Demon's Souls a flagship, but to have a next-gen looking game running on your console, I think for just for, like, marketing of mouth, it matters. That
it's just it hurts. Opinion. I mean, it surely hurts, but I think they looked at it like, we don't need another Crackdown 3. Like,
no,
we
it
need,
was the right
we
thing
need,
to delay.
Yeah, we need something that, because it's going to be the Halo we have for several years, and we probably will only get one other Halo towards the end of the generation if we're lucky.
Do you think, I'm sorry, I keep cutting off, go ahead.
No, I don't think we're gonna get, like, the name implies, Infinite. Like, it's gonna be, you know, a game as a service. Yeah. You know, anything we get, it's just gonna be expansions or, you know, new DLC. I don't think we're gonna get Halo Infinite 2 per se. I could be wrong, but they needed this one to work, and they couldn't afford not to.
No, I agree. It was the right thing to delay, and I think that you need to launch Halo as good as it can possibly be. With that in mind, and I haven't asked you this lately, but, like, do you, first of all, have you heard any rumors or do you know any insider information? I haven't been really keeping up on it. When are they hoping to launch Halo? Has that been really said or spoken? And
no.
When
they said 2021, and that was the only date that we got.
I feel like now it really doesn't matter how long you delay it. Just delay it as long as you need to. Like, the damage is done. Let this thing gestate. Halo needs to be right. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Halo needs to be right.
It'll be their holiday game. You know, it'll be the box that sells, or the game that sells boxes, you know, next Christmas. So
do that. Please do that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to find my next news item here. Speaking of delays while we're on the subject, yeah. Several major delays have been announced this week. Most notably, Cyberpunk 2077, which has been pushed to December 10th. In an official statement from CD Projekt Red, one of the key factors of the decision was its simultaneous platform launch. I begin, quote, "The biggest challenge for us right now is shipping the game on current-gen, next-gen, and PC at the same time, which requires us to prepare and test 9 versions of it while working from home." They had other information to detail that, but we have not actually talked about Cyberpunk a ton. I guess we did a little bit last week. This doesn't shock me a lot, but what are your first thoughts on this?
Well, I mean... God, this is like an onion with layers.
Yeah. Peel it, maybe.
So they've been in the news with their crunch and how they're dealing with it, and how some people say it's okay and that they're not mandatory, and then other developers come out like, no, this is not any different than any other place. Like, the crunch is mandatory and I'm not getting paid. You know, it's messy. So I hope this extra 3 weeks doesn't also involve crunch. I hope it's just, you know, squashing bugs, getting a day one patch put together, because the game is gold, which some people, most people
right.
think.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The game went gold and then delayed. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, and oh yeah, you see all these banners at, like, Best Buy that has the date and their Twitter account saying, whoops, yeah, take this day off because your game's going to be here. Which
just put a piece of tape over it and just, you know, mark it up.
I know. At this point, it's just like, just delay it inevitably, and then when it's ready, just release it, you know. But
are you worried about Cyberpunk? Let me just ask that.
No, I'm not worried about it. They've got a good pedigree of putting out some quality stuff. The videos I have seen before I went dark on it, it looked good, it sounded good. I think they got a lot going for them, so I'm excited for it. I don't know when I'll play it, because between the delays and everything else coming out, it's seriously, like, maybe I'll wait. Yeah.
When am I going to play this game? God damn.
I think other than, you know, it's a huge quadruple A game for whatever that means. When people hear gold, they think, oh, the game's ready and can be pushed on a disc and sent out. Well,
yeah, it's ready for review.
Technically, it's passed some kind of certification, with the caveat that any bugs or crashes or whatever they find during cert are going to be promised to be fixed, you know, pinky swear on day one with a patch. But they said, you know, we got a lot more work to do than we thought, and let's just delay it 3 weeks. By the way, please send me death threats. That's what they also asked for, right?
God, let's not even get. Yeah, just I blame this all on Stadia, honestly, because they're launching. I didn't include this in my quote, but they were speaking specifically about the current gen versions, like being just a problem child. I am not worried necessarily about Cyberpunk. I'm worried about the current gen versions of them because I just feel like this project got ambitious and huge, and it just doesn't run great on current gen. That's
no,
just
like thoughts. If you've got an OG Xbox, like, you know, Thor speed, because that game is gonna be
thoughts and prayers, baby. Yeah. It's gonna be a slideshow.
It's gonna be something like, I hope you like sub 30, because
right,
yikes.
Oh, dude, but we're ready for next gen. Honestly, I feel like just delay it until next gen optimizations. Like, launch the thing sexy. Launch it sexy, please. Honestly, I don't know. Okay.
But no, I mean, delay a game. If it needs to be delayed, fine. You know, when you see a bad game and you're like, wow, this needed another 6 months, remember that when you get pissy about, you know, something getting delayed, because... Yeah, the people losing their mind about this just need to take a chill pill. Like, gaming isn't for you. Like, relax, if you're going to go out there and, like I said, make death threats to developers because they delayed your precious, simulator for your Cyberpunk world by 3 weeks, like, you need to just
get a goddamn
go kick sand. Yeah.
That's the other thing, honestly, Sonic Boom. Like, is this delay a little weird? I've never heard of a 3 week delay. Is that, and I can't think of anything off the top. I'm sure it's happened, but like, what are you going to fix in 3 weeks?
Didn't The Last of Us 2 have like a, oh, sorry, one more month. We're sorry. Like, didn't it have like a last minute delay too?
Yeah, let me think here. I think it was about I'd have to check. I don't know. I don't want to just lie. I want to say it was 2 months, but yeah, it was fairly short term. But yeah, I mean, point well taken. It's just 3 weeks, like, I see in like 2.5 weeks, I expect another yellow post on Twitter.
I know. How many times have you been Rickrolled where someone puts up a yellow post and then it's just Rick Astley lyrics and you're like,
right? Man. I think it was like Devolver Digital or somebody this week just said, we wanted to make a statement on a yellow page. Bye. Screw off, Jesus.
I know. Talk about, talk about name recognition, you know? Just something on yellow with like that blue font.
Totally,
like blue and red font. Like, you're just, yeah.
They got it. Whatever it is, they've got it. I wish them well. I really like CD Projekt Red. They do great stuff. But Cyberpunk, it was just never intended to be on current gen.
No, honestly, because of a lot of things going on, I honestly want to put everything on a back burner for 9 to 12 months. Like, if Microsoft tomorrow said, "Well, you know, we're gonna wait. We're going to put out the Xbox Series X next year." I'd be like, okay.
I know.
Like,
talk to me later about it.
I'm ready to wait.
There's a couple games even coming out in November. I'm like, I even pre-ordered them and they're just sitting on a shelf or they're about to come. And I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever play you. You might be unwrapped on my shelf for the rest of your life. So sorry about that. Other delays, by the way, include Destruction All-Stars, originally slated as a PS5 launch title, will now move to February 21 and become a PS Plus title. I actually think that's really good for that game. Ubisoft announced in an earnings report that Far Cry 6 and Rainbow Six Quarantine will be pushed to its fiscal 21-22 year. That makes the release sometime between April 2021 and March 2022. There are probably other delays. I was trying to kind of like do a...
Those are the main ones. Two things. I mean, we haven't seen anything from Far Cry other than that video of dude guy. I can't remember his name. Mr.
Dude guy.
Mr. Antagonist, you know?
Yeah.
The guy. Yeah. We haven't seen anything. Like, we haven't seen gameplay, right?
Yeah, so
like,
who cares?
The fact we haven't seen anything, it's like, well, yeah, duh, that was going to happen. And then Destruction's All-Stars. Does it make you a little worried that first party exclusive is now just going to be free?
Honestly, no. I mean, if it was something of higher caliber, yes. My honest thought with Destruction All-Stars, Destruction All-Stars from the beginning is it never should have been a $70 game. I thought that was a terrible pitch for that thing. I think that a game like that, it's like Rocket League meets like Twisted Metal. That's just my first blush take of the game. Any game like that needs to have a player base to have any traction in a community. And it's not going to sell for $70, I don't think. It's not going to live with these other launch titles. And it's going to be touched by a lot more people if it's on PlayStation Plus. It's kind of like Game Pass. Like, Game Pass gives people a really good opportunity to touch a game and see if they like it, take it for a test drive, literally, and then make a decision. I think Destruction All-Stars is going to have way more of an opportunity to even have to be a game with legs if more people touch it, and more people are going to touch it on PlayStation Plus. So I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's terrible that it's delayed. I also think that, like, as far as next year goes, I think PlayStation 5 is going to see a pretty good, consistent staggering of first party, starting probably with Ratchet, and I expect Ratchet to be around that time. So I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say it's great that it's delayed, but for the life of the game, I think it's better. That's all I have to say about that, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. From the outside, it looks a little troublesome that a game that was supposed to be a launch title that was one of your stars, we'll say, and all of a sudden you're bumping it and then just giving it away. Like, that would kind of concern me a little bit.
Well, but I mean, for the game, they probably did some market research and said, I don't think this thing's pre-selling. That's probably what they did. They probably looked at pre-sale numbers and was like, there's not a lot of interest in this game. It's a new IP. We're going up against, I mean, not that they have internal competition, but like, we're with Spider-Man and a fan favorite in Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man carries a lot of cachet.
It's a smart move. Like you said, they probably looked at the pre-orders and were like, ooh, yikes. Which, there's never a bad game, just a bad price tag. So that's, maybe it's the diamond in the rough. Maybe it's the $20 game or whatever it's going to be eventually that it needs to be, and it's going to be great just like that.
Yeah, and I've always felt like people are a lot more apt to be positive on a game when it's free. Like, I don't know. People might play Destruction All-Stars and be like, this is kind of dope. It's free. I'm playing it and I'm having fun. As opposed to, I just dropped $70 on this thing and I can't believe I bought it at launch.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Knack. Looking at you.
Rest in peace. When are we getting Knack 3, by the way? When's that happening?
As soon as Mark Cerny has time. He's been making like bomb ass system architecture for the last 4 years. So, man doesn't have a lot of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the way, I've heard some tantalizing things from Digital Foundry lately. I'm connecting a lot of dots, and I don't know. I've heard John Linneman say that people are going to be surprised about PS5 performance in a good way. Those were his words, not mine.
Well, it's still a strong machine. It's not, obviously the strongest, but it's still going to do some smart things. Like, both of these boxes are going to shine in a couple of years, and we're going to be surprised by both of them. So that's not a surprising surprise take from Digital Foundry,
I don't know.
So
I don't know what I'm saying. Sonic Boom, I can eat crow on this in a couple of weeks when we open up our beautiful boxes. Oh, hey, by the way, I actually meant to ask you this. This is kind of out of nowhere. I remember your first take on the PS5 was you hated the look of it. Are you warming up to it at all in terms of the look? So you love it now?
No. Right, you love zero. It. Wait, what? Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Is this on? No.
It's on. Okay, so you love
it. If it was in black, maybe, but I don't. It just.
The white? That does it for you? The white?
If it was in black, maybe.
No, I know.
But I don't know. So, sometimes the control. Alone. Sometimes the controller, I'm like, yeah, I could. I'd mess with that. But the other days, I'm like, man, the thumbsticks are trash, so no.
Thumbsticks are not trash. I think that offset stick argument is so tired.
Well, you don't have big man hands like me.
Dude, I've got some big old golden paws. Have you seen
these big bear paws? Thin, little, chubby cheek, knock knee, blonde hair, little boy hands. I've seen your hands.
Mom, I am taller than you and arguably stronger and faster, so I'm pretty sure
I could bench press your face.
I will bench press your face.
I am more athletic than you, and I'm a dad. I've got dad strength, so don't even come at me with that.
I'm not a dad. You got me there, but I'm incredibly powerful with my boyish good looks. Anyway, the PS5, I'm warming up to it more and more. It's obnoxiously, like, the style of it is obnoxious. It's supposed to be like, I'm future. I'm so future that I'm wavy. I'm massive and huge, and I don't care about what you think about me. That's what it says to me. I think that's dope as hell. I love that it's like those tiny little engravings of the symbols is so cool. Love that.
I mean, I should like it. I mean, I like that kind of weird stuff sometimes. I should dig on it because the PC I'm sitting next to is white with blue and black trim.
Yeah, that's like right around the corner from PS5. Yeah.
I mean, it's like a giant triangle, you know, it's not a rhombus or whatever that's supposed to be, but
yeah, what is
oval? But I don't know. I think it's just my bias taking over. Like, no joke. It's probably just my bias it's okay to have a bias as long as you can recognize it and don't let it control you in a negative way, like on Twitter when you're trolling someone.
You're really getting into depth with this. All I really wanted to say was, I will say, like, most people, well, I shouldn't say most, several people that I've seen unbox it say, wow, now that I see it in person, it doesn't look so bad.
I've heard that with both. Because the camera it adds 10 pounds, so.
Well, how can the camera make a black box look any better or worse? I mean, it's a black box versus, you know, this art kid that just shows up to class high.
Yeah, the artsy kid. Yeah, nerd. No, kidding.
No, it's cool. Anyway, okay, I'm gonna move on to the next news item. We were actually just kind of touching on the subject. Everwild creative director Simon Woodruff has resigned from his position at Rare, as reported by VGC. While VGC notes that Woodruff resigned earlier this month, this is actually the second time this week that information has been made public about a director leaving development at a major Microsoft studio. Bloomberg had reported on October 28th that 343 Industries studio head Chris Lee stepped down as director on Halo Infinite, making him the second director to leave the project after Tim Longo left in 2019. I had heard, obviously, about Chris Lee. That story, I think, popped first earlier in the week. That one didn't totally shock me. I believe, didn't they have a new creative director, like an old Bungie guy, even step in to the project?
Joseph Staten, yeah.
Okay, so that one didn't shock me as much. But the Everwild one, I was starting to think. Honestly, my first thought was, I think Microsoft is maybe cleaning house a little bit. That just was my thought. I don't know if that has any truth to it.
The Rare one gives me more concern to pause, because that game is still definitely in full swing development.
Yeah.
Or something like Halo, like, the game is supposed to be out in a week and a half. So maybe it's kind of a little bit of, he's not pushing things the way the company wants, / he thought he was already going to be out the door because the game was going to be launched. And usually this time, or about this time, you start seeing turnover with video games because the project's done, and you know, the 600 plus people that were staffed up to make this game are no longer needed.
Yeah.
You don't need our team. You know, unless it's a game as a service, which Halo definitely is going to be, but there's a lot of things that, a lot of positions that just turn over.
Sure.
Is it a concern? Yeah. Director? Yeah. I mean, it's concerning a little bit, but I don't have any inside sources. I haven't heard anything about any other people having said sources, but, I haven't heard anything otherwise to think there's concern. People say, oh, here's more fodder to the fact that it's been a bad development cycle or whatever. And it's like, dude, all games have bad development. Like, name one game that went through great development, you know. no one can tell you, oh yeah, it was smooth sailing, we had no bumps in the road,
everything so, Kojima touches is perfect, and so is
oh yeah, oh totally.
So let's not detail that for
yeah me. So I think it's just It's people putting a magnifying glass on it more than anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I feel like sometimes stories kind of run away with themselves because, once again, I come back to this, like, perspective of Microsoft from the outside, which is they can't get their first-party shit in line. And it's not that I altogether think that, but I really do think they need to get it together with this generation. And high-profile departures are just not a good look. And regardless of the circumstance, I think the perspective is, like, things are disorganized and this is part of the issue, you know? And again, I don't have insider information either. I'm sure there's good reasons for this. There may be even good development reasons for this, natural development cycle reasons for this. But it's not a super, super common thing, is all. And I hope that Microsoft can get things in line more. I think they will. I think this gen should have gotten their attention in that regard, but they need their first parties to be kicking, and they need to do that immediately, please.
Agree.
Okay, there's probably like a million other news stories, but those were the high points that I had for the week. I'm missing so much, and I'm sorry, but we've already gone on for like an hour on this thing. Did you have any other ideas or topics of news that you wanted to touch that I did not have time to touch? There are probably things.
What about the Microsoft's Q1 earnings are out? Touch on that a little bit.
I saw that. I didn't actually read that. I mean, I know NPD had dropped last week, and they were just kind of riffing on general game sales in the North American region have been massive. So I would expect that to also reflect Microsoft sales. But yeah, if there's any high points you want to touch, I didn't write it down or anything, so I don't know.
Let's see. Xbox content and services are up 30%. Surface. And this will be all of Microsoft, isn't just Xbox. Surface revenue is also up. Let's see. There's 45.3 million Microsoft 365 consumer subscribers.
Huge.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
That's great.
And consumer PC sales demand is up, whatever that means. You know, it's a well duh. You know?
Is PC a market that's still steadily growing? Do you know? Because I always wonder about that, like console share versus PC share. And it's not like they're competing per se. I just always wonder if the PC space is growing on pace with console space. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good question. I would say it's still growing.
Yeah.
I mean, probably in the recent years, it's probably stagnated a little bit because prices have been just all over the place, whether it's RAM being ridiculously expensive because of cell phones a couple of years ago. Like when I built my PC, 3 years ago, RAM was just, oh my God, was it expensive? I paid $220 for probably costs $180 now or something. I don't know. Power supply units are just bonkers to get a hold of now. The new 300 series,
they're dropping,
obviously, is a pain.
That's the thing with like the PC market. It seems like it bounces around a lot more than console. Yeah. I mean, obviously console hardware only drops so often, but the PC market, like just from an outsider's perspective, it's like really, I'm not going to call it unstable, but it's really up and down a lot.
It's like a slider because before it wasn't hard getting a card. It was hard affording a card because the cards were expensive. The 2000 series were way overpriced, and then the 3000s come out and they're like half the price, do twice amount of work, and now you can't get one because everyone wants one, you know. It's like you can afford it but you can't find it, or you can't find it and you can afford it. It's like, oh, what the hell. So
in the middle, please, somewhere.
I feel like anytime someone asks me, is now an okay time to buy a piece, build a PC, I say no, because it's not
it's
you
never
know?
The right time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're like in AMD's camp, yeah, you could probably get away with that. Not too bad, because they put out new chips and new graphics cards, right? Did they put a new chip out?
I wish I knew more about PC gaming. I'm sorry. I'm really showing my ass.
Yeah.
Right
now. Speaking of, do you want to touch on that RDNA 2 stuff that was coming out this last week?
I don't know a ton about it, other than, God, I'm trying to do this by memory, but there are features in RDNA 2 that you're talking specifically about the Series X versus PS5.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, RDNA 2 is Radeon DNA 2 is like the architectural structure for the system on a chip SoC for the Xbox and the PS5, which has been on the, you know, AMD is who's been supplying chips for these console manufacturers for some time now, right? Yeah, and the big techno people on the interwebs, the Twitters, were going back and forth on, you know, well, what features are coming on these new systems, because is it RDNA 2, is it 1.5? There was one wackadoo on recent eras like, no, PlayStation's gonna have RDNA 3, which hasn't even been announced yet, but AMD came out and said, yep, Xbox has full RDNA 2 feature set, and PlayStation is kind of like a hybrid of that, so not quite full 2, but enough, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't know a ton about this, to be 100% honest with you. I was listening to a couple of podcasts talk about it, and one of the things they were saying was it's kind of a difficult thing to quantify, because both of them took RDNA 2 and customized a lot about it. So it's not like desktop RDNA 2 per se. They've both highly customized it to such that they're kind of, I don't know, they're not obviously equivalent to one another, but they're so customized,
it's not a one-to-one.
It's hard to quantify what one is and is not. So I don't know. I am of the Sony Warhorse camp, Sonic Boom. You know this about me?
Yeah.
This is what I do know. Okay. Actually, this is what I believe. I'm not going to say I know it. This is what I believe is that the PlayStation 5 is still kind of an unknown entity right now, in some ways, at least as insofar as like the consumers, us, the people buying this thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unknown about it. They've been very cagey about how they're unveiling it. It's not completely dissimilar from what they've done in the past. But I do think that the power differential between them is not exactly X's and O's one to the other. I really think that like there are certain things that the Xbox is going to excel at, and there are certain things that the PlayStation is going to excel at. And I think looking at teraflops was the wrong debate from the beginning. Obviously, before going into a console debate or a console generation, all we have is tech specs, so that's like where the console war starts, is right there, on the spec sheet. I mean, I'll eat crow on this if I'm wrong. I think that the power differential is not going to matter that much. That's what I think.
Well, depends on who you ask. Power never mattered, or absolutely does. I mean, it's just going to be the same old tale of this version runs at the highest spec, or this one is just half a step below.
And I've already seen like, you know, certain Ubisoft games that will run native 4K 60 on Xbox and like dynamic 4K 60 on PS5. So yeah. That doesn't really shock me a ton. But I have heard this also specifically when talking about 4K, is that getting native 4K versus dynamic or like checkerboard version 4K can sometimes be diminishing returns. And I think if you have certain, I don't know, all power in a console is finite. So it's really a matter of where do you want to, like, what's expensive and what do you want to spend your, I don't know, your allocation on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have heard just native 4K is kind of diminishing returns in some ways, depending on what you're trying to do in a video game. Obviously, I mean, let's be clear. If you could have native 4K, hell yeah, of course have native 4K. Everybody wants that. But I just think, I don't know. Again, I'll eat crow if I'm wrong. I think the power differential is not going to be as great as some people might think. But hey, we'll see in 2 freaking weeks, shall we?
Oh, so excited.
I'm so super excited. Oh, dear God. I'm trying to look at other... I thought I may have had other news. Newsy news. Okay, how much time do you have and how much time do we want to keep?
I say we do maybe another 10-15 minutes.
Okay. In that case, I wanted to touch on this topic of conversation. It's not necessarily video games related, but it's in the wheelhouse of nerddom, which you and I both reside happily.
Yes. Yes.
Mandalorian.
Ooh, yes.
Mandalorian. Which,
as of today, season 2, episode 1 is out.
Just so launched. And in fact, I just watched it about an hour before I got on the podcast with you.
So we won't spoil this. Yeah, we won't spoil this season because I haven't seen it. So if he spoils, I'm going to delete him off this podcast.
You can delete me.
But we will spoil season 1. So if that's where you see yourself out the door, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Smooches. We love you. Please come back.
But if you're going to stay around and chat, let's bend your ear.
I mean, I guess it's not like I wanted to go like deep dive on Mandalorian, but having watched episode 1 of season 2 just tonight, this series brings me so much joy and like excitement back to the Star Wars franchise. We were riffing actually just before we started recording the podcast. I personally may be, and I'm kind of still riding the high of the episode I just watched, but like I may be in a position to say it's my favorite original piece of Star Wars content since the Holy Trilogy, since the first trilogy, maybe. And that, I just love Mandalorian, dude. It's so good. It respects the roots of the content, keeps the spirit, but like makes it modern. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the creative directors have the flexibility to do what they want, and it shows. And I think that's what makes it great.
Yes. Yes.
Is because you're not having that episode where, oh, here's the episode where they see Han and Chewie doing a thing and they have to interact with them. Or, oh, here's the one where Luke passes by. And it's, you know, like in every Star Wars game, you have that one level where, oh, here's where you get introduced to some character from the universe.
Yeah, It's not just formulaic in that way. Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's doing its own thing. And that, like I was telling you before the show, like, I've got some friends that are really strong when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the Star Wars fandom and the extended universe and all that. And they were so ecstatic when they were announcing casting and directors and creative people and all that. And so.
And I think I don't know, it gives a nice perspective on a lot of things that we didn't really see in the main canon installments. I know like Mandalorians and the culture around them was probably detailed at length in expanded universe type stuff that was not canon, or that was canon but was not in the films specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really cool to get a sense on that, and like, I don't know, again, it just, there's just this respect and understanding of what Star Wars is, and I just felt like, I know this isn't some epiphany, but just the trilogy 7, 8, 9. At times I was just like, has anyone watched Star Wars? Has anyone watched Star Wars before?
They have not.
And you know, I may come to a conclusion that you wouldn't expect per se. I've liked episode 7 fine. I actually liked it fine. Episode 8, I thought it
was like, you mean a New Hope 2.0?
New point update. And honestly, yes, that is what it is. But I don't have any massive problems with 7. I felt like it teed up a new era of Star Wars in a way that at least didn't want to like step on too many toes. But then episode 8 came through. And this is just for me, Sonic Boom. That doesn't make me right. That's just my opinion. But I felt like episode 8 came in and was like, you know, the last 30 years, well, forget everything. And this is Star Wars now. And I'm like, I don't believe that Luke is going to kill his nephew in his sleep. Give me a break. And anyway, I don't need to go on this whole thing. Mandalorian is phenomenal. Season 2 started with maybe my favorite episode in the whole damn thing. I'm like, really? Oh my God. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to spoil anything. It was bomb, man. It was so good. You should watch it immediately after we stop recording, honestly. Or with your lady.
That's a plan.
Watch it this week.
I'm either going to go watch it and not edit this, or edit this and not watch that. So we'll see.
Don't edit the podcast. Watch Mandalorian.
There you go, folks. You're getting this Sunday then.
That's right. Okay. Let's wrap this thing up. Can we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, let's put this baby to bed. I'm tired. You're tired.
I mean, I know. I'm sorry. We have quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Oh God, here we go. Let's do it.
We'll be quick. Okay. Quick fire questions. Best game to play for Halloween. Happy Halloween, by the way.
Ooh, best game to play during Halloween would have to be a Resident Evil game because they're scary and zombies are jump scares and it's freaky.
That leads right into our next quick fire question. What's your favorite Resident Evil game?
Favorite Resident Evil game would be 2.
Original or remake?
Original.
Oh, by the way, my favorite game for Halloween, Luigi's Mansion 3. I love it.
Yeah, that was a good game. Me and the missus played that. That was a smart game. That was fun.
Dude, it's so good. I love that they brought it back, too. I hope that they continue the franchise. My favorite Resident Evil game, I think, is Remake 1 on the GameCube. Call me crazy.
Really?
It's the haunted house thing, man. I love it. Has a game ever made you audibly scream? Happy Halloween.
Oh, yeah. I jump scare really easy. I mean,
oh, you scare easy, Sonic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The missus makes fun of me all the time because, like, even TV shows where we're both like, here comes a jump scare. I'm like, yeah, here comes a jump scare. And then the thing happens. I'm like, oh.
So, why'd you do that to me?
I know. It's, yeah.
Okay. So, what game made you audibly scream?
Oh, I don't know. Probably Dead Space.
Oh, dude,
definitely. Any number of alien games. Obviously, Resident Evils.
Okay. So, like anything.
Yeah, literally anything.
A little jumpy there.
Yeah. Barbie's Horse Adventures, obviously. So.
Okay, let's move on. Last week, we asked what your favorite candy was in the candy basket. Happy Halloween. You said Reese's and you pronounced it correctly. What is your least favorite candy in the Halloween candy bag?
Oh, my God. Which is. I mean, I never get around to eating Dum Dums and Smarties. I have nothing against them, but they're not. If it doesn't have chocolate, I won't eat it.
Bro, Smarties? Smarties.
They're just tart. It's powdered sugar.
Yeah, that's what candy is.
Yeah, but I need nougat. I need chocolate. I need some something there, you know?
You're all about the chocoholic.
I love chocolate. Oh my God, I'm a chocoholic. Yeah, it's bad.
Okay, thoughts and prayers for you. I think my least favorite saltwater taffy sucks. Candy corn suck, I guess. Happy Halloween.
Whoa. I'm not going to let you in on candy.
Next topic.
Have you had the chocolate candy corn?
Chocolate candy corn?
Yeah.
Well, then it's not candy corn. It's chocolate cone.
Because it's like, you know, you got like the yellow and then the orange. And what's at the top, red or something? The chocolate, it's brown instead, so it's like chocolate. It's really good. It's like, I think they call it harvest corn or
harvest. Oh. Corn. Well, I guess chocolate takes a step in the right direction, but you know,
the pumpkin candy corn, that's cheeks. Don't eat that. That's bad.
The pumpkin. Actually,
you've seen those little.
All I'm saying is putting sprinkles on a crab don't make it a cupcake. All right, next question. You can only play one game for a whole year. What is it going to be?
Oh, man.
It's got to be WoW, right?
Was that my chair? Did you hear that?
I did. I didn't know if that was.
No, it was my chair. No joke. Microphone. I'm not. I didn't have beans for dinner, I promise. Oh, my God. Did it again. That's crazy.
Dude, your mic is haunted right now.
It's something. I got a new mic, kids. I got one of them Blue Yetis I'm trying out.
Oh, it was a Blue Yeti? Well, you're going to have to tell me how that is. What would you pay for it?
Nothing. My uncle gave it to me. He's an accountant. I don't know why he had a Blue Yeti microphone in his office for. My mom's like, because my mom helps out my uncle with tax stuff because he's an accountant. Okay. And she just comes home one day. She's like, do you want this? I know you do recordings. And I look at it. I'm like, what is my uncle? He's like 70. What would he do with a Blue Yeti? So weird. I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. So
maybe we should have him on a podcast.
Yeah, I know. He can talk about financial advice going into these uncertain times.
That'd be really helpful. That's a haunting, but I'm just going to keep rolling with it because it's Halloween. Happy Halloween. Favorite Star Wars movie not in the original trilogy?
New Hope. Or not New Hope. Rogue One. Sorry.
You broke the rule.
I know. Instantly, huh? Rogue One was so good. It was so good.
I think I agree with you, yeah. I liked Solo. Call me
crazy. The what do you call it? At the end, when you see the two characters from A New Hope, like it was done very tastefully. Like it didn't feel forced.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like we were getting pandered to.
So. Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna agree with you on Rogue. We finally agree on something. Sonic Boom.
See, eventually we'll do it.
Be friends. Okay. Yeah. Last quickfire question. What franchise? And we're talking about gaming, sorry, not film.
Oh, whatever answered your previous question.
What did I ask you? Oh yeah, game for a year. Yeah, sorry.
If it's not Destiny, it's WoW. If it's not WoW, it's Master Chief Collection. There you go.
Okay, I'm going to take Master Chief Collection, and I'm going to ignore the haunting noise that I'm hearing.
I know. Now I'm doing it on purpose. I apologize.
Okay, what franchise, video game franchise, do you wish would be brought back that is currently dead 6 feet underground?
Oh, my God. Dragon Age would be nice. Sunset Overdrive would be nice to be put into an actual, make it actual franchise. Splinter Cell, because like Ubisoft is just clowning us. You know, we're getting Skate 4 eventually, so you can stop hearing about that. Thank God. Same with Modern Warfare 2 being remastered. We can stop hearing about that. God.
Those are some good ones.
I'm just trying to think of, like, what do I need to stop hearing about? Because I personally don't care. This but it's not like, even
about a game you want. You just want people to shut up.
Well, if you follow anyone on Twitter, anyone official, which I don't. Does Sony have a lot of, like, big wigs that are on the Twitters that are doing anything?
They have me. So.
Well, I mean, paid. Because, like, you got, like, Major Nelson, you got Phil, you got Aaron Green. There's a ton of Xbox personalities that. When they tweet something, 9 times out of 10, the first thing you see is, why isn't blankety blank in backwards compatibility?
Like, yeah, I guess Sony has Shuhei Yoshida, but like not really. They've got other people, Sid Schumann, but not like a Phil Spencer, not really.
Yeah, it's just like, you get the point where it's like, dude.
But I hear what you're
saying. Why are you asking Phil Spencer about Skate 4? He has nothing to do with it, and he does not care. Like, stop. You know,
Phil controls everything about the Xbox. Yeah,
you know, Phil.
Okay, so you're saying Skate 4 or any number of those games just so those people can shut up. That's a really good answer. You took that. No,
but Dragon Age would be, man.
Are they developing? Isn't Dragon Age rumored?
Well, I guess we got some news about Anthem this last week. And man, it's just, they showed off some stuff and it's like, really, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, just put that baby to bed. It's just, you're just hemorrhaging money and talent, and it's just like you're going nowhere. Like,
I'm not even kidding. I completely forgot Anthem ever existed.
I forced myself to play through it during the pandemic, and the bones are there because I had it for $5. The bones of a good game are there. It's just like, I don't know.
$5 is the best retort you could have said there. So I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Franchise that I wish would be brought back, a number of things. Okay, I'm sorry. Capcom IP's Maximo, I wish would come back.
Yeah.
I freaking love Maximo. Great Halloween game, too, by the
way. That game was no joke on PS2.
Love that game, dude.
That game was so tough. Ghost Holy of Glory, cow.
Baby, that was so
good.
And then another Capcom IP, I don't know why we haven't seen him lately, Beautiful Joe. Beautiful Joe was the stuff, man.
That
Joe was awesome.
Who made that for Capcom? Who actually developed those?
Good question. I don't know. I assumed it was just Capcom in-house. It was somebody else and published by Capcom?
Why do I always think Platinum made those games?
Did
they do the Wonderful 101?
Yeah, they did. God. Okay.
Dude, that came, you might be right about that.
I'm looking.
Because those originally came out around the same time on the GameCube, right? Or one after the other.
Yeah, 2003 and 2000, I want to say 5 back to back. Let's see here.
I always associate those games together, which I don't know why, but I did. And
no, you're right about that. Hold on a minute. Director, blah, blah, blah. Developed Capcom Production Studio 4.
Okay, so it was in-house. Okay.
Planning rooms, blah, blah, blah. I can go on. But yeah, I guess it is Capcom in-house. But again, you know, they probably do a whole bunch of stuff. What they've developed. Oh, and they did Resident Evil 7 and 5 and 6. And wow, that goes on. Okay, never mind.
They did those really good Game Boy games, the Zelda games on Game Boy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Oracle of Ages and Seasons.
Seasons, yeah. Which, yeah, that's crazy seeing a Capcom logo in front of a Zelda game.
Yeah, that one's pretty dumb. Other games, Castlevania and Metal Gear Solid. Thank you.
Kojima just needs to sell their IP. They're not
appreciate that, baby.
Pachinko games and all that is just not where it's at. These like anniversary collections they keep squirting out. It's just no, it's not enough.
You don't like those?
It's just not doing anything for the IP. Like they got great IP to work with. Like
no, I Silent agree.
Hill. I mean,
they've got some legacy IP. Legacy, baby. I have two crazy tinfoil hat ideas in my mind, and you know one of them. These are more like pie in the sky thoughts and dreams. One is that Metal Gear Solid is being developed by Naughty Dog. That's one tinfoil hat dream I have. The other one is that Castlevania will someday be developed by FromSoft, and they will release it, and it will be beautiful.
Wow. Okay. Oh man, I don't. I can't imagine FromSoft doing a Castlevania. Just what would that look like?
It would look like Bloodborne, baby. That's what it would look like, and it'd be beautiful and gothic and terrifying.
I could get the aesthetic, but man, like, what would the game mechanic be? Would it be like super hardcore?
It probably would. Well, see, that's the thing. Castlevania, it's like, I think I would assume it would be more fast paced, kind of like the Lords of Shadow. Did you ever play those games, by the way?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Those weren't bad. I don't know why. I wish those
they
even
were very well done, and they had a lot of meat to them.
Yeah. They were damn good games. They were damn good games. So those are the two. Metal Gear Solid and Castlevania. Or Maximo or Beautiful Joe. Thanks. Oh, bring them all back.
So good.
Bring them all back. Let's put this baby to bed on this Hallows Eve. Shall we?
We shall.
Sonic Boom, where did the people find you?
You can find me at The Pie Piper on Twitter.
The best follow on Twitter. And yep. You can find our buddy Greg at Jethrin. Jethrin on Twitter. And you can find me, Matt. I'm at The Circle Button on Twitter. Second best follow on Twitter. And you can find the podcast at CrossPlat Chat on Twitter. Join the tens of thousands worldwide.
Millions. There's millions of them.
Catch the fire on CrossPlat Chat. All right. I guess that'll do it for episode 5 of CrossPlat Chat. Mask up. Happy Halloween. Take care. See you next week.
Spooky cast.
Thank you for saying spooky cast.
So now I can't get my chair to do the thing now.
I mean, I'm hearing it a lot still.
Oh.
There it is right there. That's your chair. This whole time it was your chair. Damn it. Ooh, it's getting different now though. Ooh. Sounds like an oboe.
It's crazy that microphone is so
you can make like a whole song over there. You got guitars and oboes and
yeah, here we go.
That sounds like a fucking guitar from my end.
I can't believe that right microphone's so sensitive. I don't know if I gotta put it the settings or what, because I tried it originally and I'm like, it sounds like ass, and then I shit you not, I saw the unboxings for Xbox Giant Bob. Mm-hmm. Brad Shoemaker has the same one. As like, oh, I was talking into it backwards. So yeah, because there's like a knob where you can change the settings, which is really cool. You can make it like omnidirectional, two-directional, like side, like you can do all kinds of crazy stuff with it. And I had it single directional, but I had it backwards because I was like, oh, that's how it works.
Sonic Boom. Okay, I'll shame you next week on Flutter Bombs for that.
Nice, do it.
I'm kidding, of course. All right, brother. Well, that wasn't so bad. That was a fun fire.
No, that was great.
I loved it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Damn right. One more thing before I let you go into your Friday night.